Welcome to another episode of the RevVR Podcast. I am your host, Reverend Kyle. This is a slightly different format than you're used to. Last Friday, I was invited to an event, TPCast, which is the wireless solution for HMDs in the VR space, or at least one of them. It invited me to an event at the Surf Incubator, which is located here in Seattle, Washington. And they gave me an opportunity to test out their product. But they also gave me a special opportunity. I was able to interview some of the top executives of TPCast and ask them some questions and get their opinion and get some answers on what is TPCast and how is it going to make our VR world better, because there's no wires anymore, or at least not for the headset, and that's the important piece, right? So what I'm going to do here is I'm going to play the actual interview, and then afterwards I'm going to give you my opinions and first impressions of using the hardware. So let's dig right into the interview. Be aware that the interview was done in a slightly noisy room, so best to listen to this with your headphones or earbuds or whatever it is that you listen to. But it's a good interview. It gives a lot of really good information, so let's dig right into it. Introduce yourself and sure. Tell us who you are and what we're here for, what this event is about.
One second. We have here the management of the company, so I think it would be nicer to introduce them as well.
Right? Okay, well, go ahead. Yeah.
Okay, so I'm Udi, and I'm the GM of the U.S. operation. So I joined TPCast a couple of weeks ago.
Okay.
And we have here with us Michael, the CEO of the company. So Michael is the founder and CEO.
Okay.
We have Tony. Tony is the EVP worldwide sales. And he's running the sales activity at TPCast.
Okay. So for those people living under a rock in the VR world and have no idea what TPCast is, what is TPCast?
Michael, you want to take it or? Okay, so TPCast is a technology company. We have developed a very unique wireless technology to address the idea of taking the wires off the VR headset. So we are mainly addressing the high resolution and high performance VR. Means that these are systems that are connected to PCs, to machines that are very high performance. And you need to drive higher resolution. When it gets to that point, then today there's no solution that can do it wirelessly and still preserve the low latency and the high resolution. So that's what TPCast does. We provide a wireless module that will be that is able to provide a 2K resolution today, 4K resolution by the end of the year. That's what we believe we can do, and preserve the latency below 2 milliseconds.
Below 2 milliseconds.
Yes.
Correct. So there are headsets out there right now that are self-contained that have a hard time with that.
Yeah, the headset itself maybe is around 15 millisecond latency. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we test our wireless latency is less than 2 milliseconds. That's the whole loop.
Okay.
Single loop, less than 1 millisecond.
So that's on top of the 15 milliseconds
for
motion to photon latency.
Any wireless adapter, if their latency greater than 5 milliseconds plus 15 milliseconds, totally greater than 20 milliseconds, then the user will feel dizzy.
Right. So,
yeah, so and you can check that the latency timing reserved left to the wireless adapter is very minimal.
Okay.
Should be less than 5 milliseconds.
So does TPCast use, is it
Bluetooth? Is it Wi-Fi? Is it RF? What is the technology
We use a combination of the technologies. In general, it's there's some confidentiality here, but we do 60 gigahertz for the video.
Okay.
And we use Wi-Fi for the data and data control.
Okay, so it's a hybrid approach.
It's a hybrid approach.
Correct. Okay, okay. I see that, you know, there's been some dev kits out there. I know some major news outlets like Upload VR has their hands on this technology already, and they've been playing with it. What kind of feedback have you gotten from the initial people who have been playing around with this?
The feedback we are getting, and that's one of the purposes of this meetup, is to get more feedback. But so far, the feedback is we have not seen any difference. And we, at the beginning, what the issue was that the wires were missing, but they got used to it very fast, and the wires were not there, and they started enjoying the game. So,
people were actually saying, "Uh-oh, where are my wires?"
Yes. I was feeling a bit strange because I did not have wires, but then I started to understand that there's no wires and I can really play freely.
That's interesting.
So the thing is very positive. The feedback is very
positive. You play for our headset maybe, or adapter for maybe more than 1 minute.
Mm-hmm.
If you play good games, you will feel fully immersive into it. And as my experience, and the many our users also experience the same thing, that they just forget they are wearing the wireless adapter. They don't feel any boundary or limitation.
So let's talk a little bit about the hardware setup itself. The idea with VR is that you have to have a pretty powerful computer. Sure. Does the power of the computer dictate the performance of this hardware at all?
The idea is to replace the wires.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we have done, and it's done very well. So you don't feel any difference if there's a wire or wireless. Now, computer will give you the performance that you paid for, right? It's kind of, that's what you get. So there's no. We don't influence the performance, and we preserve whatever is there.
So a higher-end computer versus a lower-end computer, there's not going to be any difference there?
Any difference for the wireless piece, but the game might be a better experience for you because of the better computer.
Okay.
But we don't play there. We don't care.
Okay.
But
so, yeah, go ahead.
TV Cast is actually plug and play.
Mm-hmm.
So we just replace the wire.
Okay.
So from a PC perspective, it has no difference.
So it sounds to me like you really probably wouldn't care what kind of headset it is either, as long as it's... So what all is it transmitting? USB and... The video, HDMI.
Okay. But, you know, every headset, there's no standard today how the headset should be connected to the computer.
Right,
so
right.
So you need to do an adaptation per headset unless they're identical. I know there's a couple of that are going to be dropping replacement to the other headset, so we can really do the same.
Right. So we know, because it's been pushed heavily, you guys work well with the HTC Vive. What about the Oculus Rift?
We'll be ready in a couple of months.
Okay.
So it's on the way.
All right. So it's not out of the box right now, ready
Correct.
To go.
Not announced yet.
What are the challenges to making it work with the Rift versus the Vive?
It's to understand the connections and what the wires are doing. So that's kind of, once you understand what they need, then it's an engineering adaptation.
Okay. If, let's say I had just a DVD player, could I use TPCast to transmit it to the TV?
If the video plays on the PC,
it's an expensive cable that maybe you don't want to use.
Sure, you know, let's talk about cost. So, if I understand correctly, it's what, $100?
$300.
$299. Okay, I don't know where I got $100 from. Just wishful thinking, maybe.
We can give you a discount.
Oh, okay, great. So, so for $300, you can turn a $600 headset into a wireless
700,
yeah.
That's one way to look at it. You can turn a $3,000 VR with a computer, is still there, into a really high performance no wire system.
That's a good perspective. Okay. I like that. I've been really curious. Cast, that's a word I recognize. TP Cast, where does that name come from?
Let's Mike.
TP Cast, we had a earlier product called Transpad.
Okay.
Transpad is a something like an iPad, but there's no operating system. There's no CPU on that iPad.
Okay.
That iPad has to be connected to your cell phone. So that's where TPcast came from.
Okay, so it's just a derivative.
TP means TransPad.
Got it. All right. Okay, so that makes sense. When we hook up just referring to the Upload VR article that I read a while back about their setup, this thing goes on top of the actual HMD.
Sure.
What does it look like when you connect it all up? So what am I yanking out of my Vive to put this into it?
You take the cables that were there, connecting your computer to the Vive, and you put a piece, a kind of a wireless piece that is on, instead of that with cables, and you connect the cables, the same set of cables, same set of connectors into the new place.
Okay, so in my Vive there's a power cable, a USB, and an HDMI.
Correct.
So I yank all three of those out.
And you put the same thing in.
Okay.
And you just put a small piece that is negligible in terms of weight, and that's it.
Okay.
That's something that you unplug the same cable from the Vive and replug into our transmitter.
Okay.
Okay, so the transmitter can transmit all things and use our attached short cable to connect the receiver and the Vive. Okay.
All right.
The transmitter and the receiver can connect automatically.
Okay, so it is literally just replacing that cable.
Yeah.
Okay, from the breakout box. That
there's a couple of boxes that you get at the end. There's that piece on your head.
Okay.
And there's a battery pack that you put in your pocket that supplies the power to the headset.
Okay.
Now you need to supply wireless power as well.
Yeah.
So we have a battery.
You need
pack
one adapter
that will
to
be
support the Vive as headset.
Battery pack that will last for 5 hours, 6 hours, and it's there.
Well, that's not bad.
Yeah.
You know, 5-6 hours. If I'm in VR for 5 and 6 hours, that's pretty good.
Yeah, we need to replace the person first.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. All right, who's next? I got about a half an hour left on the battery. How big is that battery pack?
Smaller than a laptop battery.
Okay. Am I putting that like on my head, in my pocket?
In your pocket.
Okay.
In your pocket, your belt. We have some adapter for the belt, so you can.
Okay. It might be really counterintuitive to ask this question because it defeats the purpose of your product completely. But if I didn't want to battery power it, could I plug it into something?
Yes. Take the original cables and.
Well, okay. At that point, yeah. Okay.
So you're fine.
Okay. I am blessed with having a nice, 10 by 12 foot room in my house. I call it my VR dungeon, and it's wonderful. And I have all the headsets. I'm a pretty happy guy. I would imagine that's plenty of, the bandwidth of this thing is going to be wonderful in a 10 by 12 room. I'm not going to get too far away. How far away from this transmitter or this receiver can I get before I start losing something?
Yes. I think it's 10 meters.
10 by 10 meters.
10 by 10 meters. So
you'll be just fine.
Okay.
You're fine. So
sure.
Depends also when you put the transmitter, but in general, yes.
But it will be limited by the lighthouse.
Oh, right.
Lighthouse
obviously
is 5 to 5 or 6 by 6 at most.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But our radio RF antenna can support up to 10 by 10 meters.
Okay.
That's based on our test.
That makes sense.
So our antenna is very strong and very robust and very mature design. That's why TPCAS differentiate from other solutions.
Sure, sure. Yeah. What about position of the receiver? Do I want this thing to be on my desk, under my,
receiver,
know, my computer?
Yeah, transmitter.
Well, I guess it's a transceiver, yeah. Isn't it?
It's a transmitter.
It's doing both, right?
Yeah, it's okay. It's okay.
It's a transmitter mainly because it transmits the video.
Okay.
Yeah. The other controls, maybe you also receive some data, but that goes through the Wi-Fi, so that's just a transmitter.
Okay, okay.
So the ideal place would be to put it on the ceiling, so
sure.
You kind of cover, you, 10 by 10, you have all directions. If you put it in the corner, so... The ideal place would be on the ceiling.
All right, so I'll just run a cord up and put it on my ceiling next to my
that's
light.
That's the ideal place.
That's
but you can put it also on the side.
That's the best. It should be
best
there.
Best ideal, exactly.
Best idea. But if you just put it by side the lighthouse,
right?
Very good.
Okay.
Still very good. If you put on the desk,
mm-hmm.
Still very good.
Okay.
That's our difference for our solutions.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Now, I again, referring to my VR dungeon, I've got... all sorts of things going on. I've got my router, and I might have other things that send and receive data wirelessly through Bluetooth. I got Bluetooth speakers, all sorts of fun wireless stuff. Am I going to have problems? Am I going to have crosstalk? Am I going to have interference?
They're not 60 gigahertz, so you're fine.
Okay.
You're talking about different wavelengths.
Okay.
The point is that the Michael mentioned that our transmitter is just plug-and-play solution.
Mm-hmm.
You just unplug the Vive cable, USB, and HDMI
mm-hmm.
Connected from PC to the Vive and plug into our transmitter. It works. Other solution you will see in the market in the future months that their solution need to unpack the desktop, plug the card onto the motherboard,
okay.
And plug the chassis. And
okay.
Need to because the car has the antenna.
Sure, right.
So you plug the chassis. You can imagine that the desktop need to put on the desk,
mm-hmm.
Not on the wall, on the floor. So
right.
A lot of limitation and not so easy installation for the users.
Sure,
so you,
right.
you will see that in the future months, you will see that such like solution like this.
So you guys know that your competitors are on the way.
Our competitors are coming, but they're not there yet.
Okay.
We are the first one and the only ones today. So when they come, we'll know. They did not release product yet. So.
Yeah, so we will know that how they will solve this.
Okay,
solution.
Okay. So I would imagine you're probably pretty excited then that there are so many other headsets coming out, like from Microsoft, Acer, HP, Lenovo.
Sure.
And I've seen some of these headsets, and they've got HDMI, USB.
Sure.
That's it.
Sure.
It's not doing anything in terms of tracking.
Probably will be TP-Cast as well.
So. You think so?
We think so.
When or how long will it take for you guys to just... it's an integral part of the headset going forward, and it becomes built in to the headsets.
We have a strategy that we want to be there, so
mm-hmm.
We'll talk to whoever is needed to be there inside those headsets. So.
Okay. So definitely
that's
on your radar.
Part of our strategy, yes.
Excellent, right. Excellent. Okay. What do you think your biggest challenge is going to be? Because they've been releasing all these new numbers recently of... I don't know, but there's like less than a million Vives and 500,000 Rifts, and a lot of these people are going to be like me, or they're developers, or they're enthusiasts, or they're heavy gamers. How are you going to convince them that $300 is the right value for this product?
So we don't know about those numbers so much as. You're mentioning that per year, or that's for the next
there's just
years?
Been numbers that have been floating around the internet
the last
couple of days.
Okay.
Let me illustrate for this. I think $299 is the numbers, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But we all know that the wireless VR is truly a new field,
mm-hmm.
or new innovation.
Sure.
Because nobody did it before.
Right.
But TPCast, we position ourselves to... we design and offer the best VR, wireless VR experience
mm-hmm.
and solution for our customers. So that's why we choose the wireless HD and the current chipset, and to deliver the best experience. Because we evaluate so many different chipset that we choose the best, and we want to deliver the user best solution. So that's maybe a cost more, but we think that the current VR still under the early adapt stage. That we believe that the current VR users want the best, for example, the best tracking system, the best tracking accuracy, and the best wireless VR experience they want to get. So right now, we choose the best technology to deliver. And we think that for this stage, and of course for future enterprise users, they will choose the best. Like they choose why.
It makes sense. I mean, they're premium users.
Sure.
They're bleeding edge. They're willing to pay that extra to have that top of the line.
But when you get to the million
and the
units,
TVCast should be the best.
When you get to the million units, I believe we'll be able to adjust that.
Okay. Yeah.
So let's see the market evolving. The numbers are big.
Actually, we can choose.
And that dictates
choose not the second best or third best solution is cheaper, but we don't want to. We don't think that the current user should. To choose that such a solution.
Makes sense.
There's no second best today.
Maybe. You will see in the future.
Today.
You will see.
Who knows? That's today, right. Right now.
Is
that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sitting here with you guys. So that
antenna is mature enough. Yeah.
Right. That's good. And for any users, if they have any doubts about TVCast, when we make the public announcement for pre-order, sometime next month, we will have some partners in the retail location. They can just come in and give you a try.
Ah, you stole my next question. Because that's the thing. You know, VR has this stigma of you have to try it to really appreciate it. And so you'll have retail establishments that will be showing this off.
Right.
Okay. That's good. I'm excited about that. I don't know how many people I've sent to go try it.
Yeah. And you'll love it.
You got to try it. Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, that's all good information. I'm trying to think of things that the community is going to say. Well, why didn't you ask about this? Okay, here's a question for you. The Oculus Rift trackers are USB. Is it possible down the road that you guys might have a solution for making them wireless?
Where the data goes, I'm not aware of the architecture.
It's on the
road, but I believe if it all comes to the same place, then we'll take it to the computer.
So it's USB.
USB, but it connects to where? To the computer or to the headset?
To the computer.
If you ever use the Oculus, their tracking is still very good. If you play the game, that's very good.
Yeah.
Traction. Also a very good tracking system. Yeah, and we will make it for Oculus.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, again, I'm fortunate enough to have, you know, enough connections and enough toys to play with. I've got Oculus sensors. I got three of them. I tried to do four, but I ran out of USB bandwidth. So I either have to put a new card in or whatever. But with four, or with three rather, it runs wonderfully. I mean, my tracking is solid. The difficulty, though, is that I've got this big, long USB cord that runs across my floor and around the corner.
These are cables not connected to your body.
Correct.
It's a difference. So that's kind of not what we want to address. We want to address the headset.
So
if you are talking about sensors, that's the interesting part. You know, those cables, you run them once and that's it. The problem is the cables you take with you all the time and you move with them. That's kind of what we have been addressing. So.
I still think it's a good idea.
I'm not saying
would personally buy that product.
Yeah, but our goal is to kind of really replace that piece.
Okay. I feel like I already know what the answer to this question is, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Facebook/Oculus, I still have a hard time calling it Facebook, announced recently a $200 wireless headset. What do you think about that at a $200 price point, which is less than the attachment that you guys are selling? Are you afraid that that's going to be a problem?
I think that there will be different category of VR headset in the market. they are PC VR headsets. That's right now is the high-end, most high-end.
Right.
And they are middle-end, for example, for all-in-one headset, like Oculus introduced, and the most some is a mobile VR, mm-hmm. using the cell phone to do the tracking or something else.
Right.
That's a different price point and different demand. We believe that it's a good thing for VR. Mm-hmm. market, because different users are willing to pay different price to get different performance. So the PC VR is definitely the highest end, because the PC with the most computing power, most powerful graphics card,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of enterprise application on it, and the most sophisticated game on it, or multiple people games on it. Yeah, so deliver the best. Maybe the tracking system accuracy or the most resolution.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's the PC VR. For Oculus position, we believe Oculus and HTC will introduce, a lot of vendors will introduce, it will be have some users. Yeah, so, but the TVcast is positioned to do wireless VR. So we will do the combined with the PC VR. This market only.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we will do our best for the PC VR wireless.
And that's the answer I would have expected.
Yeah.
90 hertz and 2K resolution. So let's say I get my hands on a TPcast, your current version, and then 2 years down the road, 16K resolution running at 240 hertz. I'm just going crazy here. Am I going to still use that original TPcast but only get the lower, you know, what happens if the hardware pushes the TPcast harder? Is it limited to that 90 hertz 2K?
Yeah, you need a new hardware.
So you're going to need to upgrade your TPcast.
Yeah, upgrade our technology.
That's
platform.
A technology play now.
Okay.
We have a different platform for the future.
Okay, so you guys have that ready
to
rock.
We already prepared for that.
Excellent. Okay. And so the current version, as of today, July 2017, your 2K 90 hertz, less than 2 milliseconds, but you have a better version that's going to be.
Yeah, we are preparing for future for 3K or 4K platform.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we are preparing for that.
Okay.
Yeah. Because we are focused on wireless VR, wireless bandwidth, we know everything about it. Including antenna or the bandwidth related to the resolution,
mm-hmm.
we are all very familiar and prepared for the next generation.
Very cool.
And the platform.
Right. The mainstream for this year is 2K 90. Mm-hmm. Mainstream for next year is going to be 3K 90. And 3K 90 will go for a while.
Yeah.
Maybe by 2019, some of the latest headset will go 4K 90, and 4K 90 will go at least for another 3 years.
You think we'll get higher resolution before we'll get higher frequency, like 90 hertz up to 120, or
90 is pretty much enough.
Okay.
Some vendor want to 120.
Mm-hmm.
Performance.
Yeah, we are also preparing for it.
Okay. Yeah, I think 120 will be substantial in the future.
Yeah. And also depends on the graphic card.
That's true. Yeah, that's true.
It is an ecosystem.
Sure.
So
every single point in the value chain has to, you know, match up. Otherwise, you know, you could not get the best performance.
What about PlayStation and the PSVR? You guys compatible now or going to be?
Yeah. So right now, nothing to reveal for now.
Ah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Good stuff. Yeah, Sony likes to keep their lids very tight. Yes.
Yeah.
So that's good. Okay.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a different question. Do you foresee a future where there may be a wireless PSVR headset?
Sure.
Sure.
Okay.
That's the natural.
Yeah.
It should be.
Sure.
Cool. Excellent. So let's pretend like instead of staring at a recording device on a tiny little tripod, that you have the ears and attention of the entire VR community right now. You could say anything you want to them, all of them at the same time. What would you want to say to them?
You first.
You want me to suit? Okay. Okay, so the wires today are providing maybe one experience. The enhanced experience will come with the wireless. And that's the reason Tipicast exists, and that's what we are there to deliver.
Okay, so my thing is that wireless VR is the capability to support the high definition resolution at a very high frame rate,
mm-hmm.
but it's all related about the bandwidth. So the users buy the wireless adapter is actually should be the consider the bandwidth they bought. If the high bandwidth they bought, they can get better result, like least latency, better video quality. So if you buy something with less bandwidth, with encoder, codec into it, it will be lead to more latency and worse video quality. So that's the key themes for the wireless VR, the users should consider about.
Very cool.
Okay. What I'm gonna say is very simple. VR should be untethered. TVcast, we will unleash the VR world.
Awesome. Fantastic. Cool. Guys, you know, I'm here early. You know, this is very cool to let you guys let me in to come in and chat with you guys. And I'll be curious to see the response from the community about, you know, what they think about TPCast and this event. We're going to be doing some live streaming video. We're going to show people my personal experiences, and I'll share that as well with everyone. And, you know, I think I'm going to have a good time tonight.
Great. Yeah. Great. You have a good night.
Excellent. All right, gentlemen, thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. Great interview. Thanks to those gentlemen for taking the time to speak to me, answering all my questions. They seem to have all the right answers to all of my questions, so I was really happy about that. So let's talk a little bit about my first impressions. So when I got there, we did the interview, and then afterwards, I still had some time before everybody else started to show up. It ended up being about 30 people or so at the event. It was really nice to see some of the regular who's who of the VR community here in Seattle show up and take advantage of the opportunity to play around with this hardware. I have to admit that when it worked really well. There was a few hiccups at the beginning. I think that this was still kind of a beta version of the hardware, or not quite complete. So there was a few hiccups. And when I say hiccups, what I mean is when the headset doesn't connect to the computer for the transmitter receiver and all that, you get a red or a blue screen on the headset, just indicating that it hasn't been, it isn't connected. And so, just like we're all used to, with the HTC Vive, you just redo the setup and set up your configuration, and everything worked out after that. I took the opportunity to play. I wanted to play something that I was used to, something that I personally had enough gameplay with that I would notice a difference in either latency or graphics or performance. And they had Space Pirate Trainer there, and Space Pirate Trainer is always, in my opinion, a great go-to for performance testing, especially on a new computer or a lower-end machine where you're not exactly sure if it's going to work or not. Space Pirate Trainer is a tried-and-true test to see if everything is working as it should. And so I asked them that I wanted to play Space Pirate Trainer. They humbly obliged me. And I dug into it, and it was amazing to not have the cable attached to my head. I felt very good, untethered. I was having a good time. There was only one or two split-second moments where it lost a connection for like maybe a frame. I mean, it was very barely noticeable. But again, like I said, this isn't the final hardware. This isn't what they're going to be selling. But even if it was, that slight, tiny little hiccup was not that big of a deal. I feel like I had a good time playing. It was working well. I didn't notice any difference in performance. I didn't notice any, you know, there could have been that risk of, you know, the latency being so bad that I whip my head around and then it takes a split second for the headset to catch up. That did not happen. In terms of the compression and everything, yeah, it wasn't noticeable. There was very little difference in what I was used to seeing in a corded experience in the HTC Vive versus the TP-Cast. So in my opinion, the value of this hardware is definitely there. I mean, it definitely makes sense that you would want to get this and that you would want to use it for a wireless solution. I'm very excited to hear that they're going to have a solution as well for the Oculus Rift and all of the other headsets that'll be coming out soon. So I really see this as being a Reverend Kyle stamp of approval on a piece of hardware. So that's a good thing for the VR community to hear, hopefully. other people that were there also said that they had the similar experience of just really enjoying it. I'm going to, in the post on my website, revvrstudios.com, also a link to my Periscope video where you can see me trying this out, testing it. I also played Hollow Point for a little while. I was just having a hard time pulling the arrows out of my quiver. That's just me being silly, nothing to indicate any problem with the hardware, the TP-Cast. So I guess in a conclusion here, I would recommend going and checking this out on your own, determining if the value is there for you. At $299 plus the cost of whatever you have, I mean, if you're a regular listener of this show, I already know that you probably see the value in this hardware. You don't need me to tell you that it's valuable. You just need to know whether it worked or not. And so I'm saying, yes, it works. Yes, it's a wonderful addition. Yes, it was great to not have the cable there, you know, to get wrapped up in or to trip over. All in all, I would say, you know, with the battery life being 5+ hours, and, you know, I just stuck the battery in my pocket, but they also had like this belt mechanism that you could wear. But I'm personally looking forward to having this be part of the staple of my setup, and I think that most of you will as well. And like they said during the interview, that there may be other hardware solutions, other competitors of theirs that are going to come out with some answers to the wireless, but it's not going to offer the same setup. So when you're looking to see, to decide if you're going to wait and see what other hardware comes out, just keep in mind that we're talking about 90 hertz, 2K resolution, upwards of whatever, you know, they're going to have other solutions down the road. You know, get what's right for you and make a good decision. But so TP-Cast, definitely a thing. I want to thank those folks for doing everything. I want to thank Daniel, part of their marketing team, for letting me harass him for a little while. I think all in all, it was a pretty fun evening. They got pizza and candy and drinks and everything. And like I said, the Seattle VR Who's Who was there and having a good time. So shout out to all of them, and shout out to the folks at TP-Cast. And shout out to all of you, my fans. Thank you very much for listening. This podcast is a production of RevVR Studios. Music provided by Jesse Spillane. Comments and views expressed on the RevVR podcast are the sole opinions of Reverend Kyle or his guests. For more information, visit RevVRStudios.com.